You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north in Aria, down south Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And of course, if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe. Check us out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Leave us a five-star rating. Write us a nice review. Make sure you say hi. You love the Sports Rabbi Show. Check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and Hebrew. We bring it to you in both languages, and we are the only website in the land of Israel that does it in both. Of course, we missed our end of the week recording last week because we were so busy with the Maccabiah. It was crazy. The Maccabiah was packed. Roe Shalom was busy with the softball. The Sports Rabbi was busy with the basketball, and also being a rabbi at the hotel for the Maccabiah over the last two Shabbatot. So we were just totally behind schedule, but we're going to make sure we're going to make it all up to you. Of course, right before the Maccabi Haifa Olympiakos game coming up, UEFA Champions League second round qualifier, and then the three conference league qualifiers on Thursday. Lots of fun going on, lots of action. Roe Shalom, Maccabiah. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Hard work, but a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, just seeing so many people come over to Israel, and really this is a real celebration, you know, when this comes up every 4 years. Now it was that was after 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So really to see people you haven't seen in pretty much in 5 years, and just, you know, all doing it all for sports and Jewish, and, you know, these guys coming from all over the world. We had people from Cuba. We had people from Mexico. We had
Hungary,
even a couple from
Germany, just, Colombia,
really,
America, Canada, France. I mean, the list was on. Australia. I cannot tell you how many different countries represented on Shabbat at the Dan Jerusalem Hotel. It was absolutely insane. You know, it was really cool being able to talk to people from Cuba. I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was then. That's the first country you mentioned. It was a lot of fun. I think it was a blast. And you know what? We only have to wait 3 more years to the next game, so that's good news too. But we all worked hard and we all had a great time. It was a real blast, and I'm happy that we were able to really have a great time with this program. Roe Shalom. I think, you know, I don't know if there's anything else more to add, but if anybody has a chance to come to the Maccabiah, it's great. The Jewish Olympics. You get to meet people from all over the world. It's a lot of fun, and you know, happy to be a part of it. Speaking of traveling around the world, Roy Shalom, we now have the Israeli soccer teams. They're going to be traveling all over the place, or have traveled all over the place, as European qualifying is upon us. We've already finished with the first legs of all second round games, heading into second legs Wednesday night and then Thursday night. So we got to talk about Maccabi Haifa and Olympiakos. Surprisingly, Maccabi Haifa wasn't too bad. I've got to tell you, Maccabi Haifa, I was impressed. They came out a little slow, but they actually had the better scoring chances in this game against Olympiakos. They had two goals that were called off. They were lucky that they got that tying goal late in the game, which was a total fluke by Dolev Khaziza. But sometimes you need a little luck in these things. And if any team deserved a goal, it was them for sure in this game against Olympiakos, Roy Shalom.
Yeah, you know, they were, we can say it out loud that they were the better team out of the two teams that were on the pitch that night, on Wednesday night here in Haifa. So in a way it was disappointing for Maccabi Haifa, the final score, but the way they played was very, very encouraging for Barak Bachar's squad.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they, as you said, they had a couple of goals disqualified.
Offsides, yeah.
With offsides. You know, there was also, there's no VARs in these games. And sometimes you're like, huh.
I know. Why aren't we playing with the VAR, by the way? I mean, I know why, okay? Because there are some fields and stadiums that are being used for these qualifiers that would not pass the standards of like third world countries. So I understand, you know, I guess you've got to be fair and consistent with everybody. So there's no VAR. That's basically the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, but now, you know, we're so used to it that, you know, there was always that question, do we like the VAR or we don't? But, you know, for a game like that, for Maccabi Haifa, that, you know, the VAR might have come in and even allowed one of the goals. And, you know, the difference between going into Greece with the 2-1 lead, let's say, because, you know, Haifa could have had like a 3-1 lead and we wouldn't have been surprised with the way they played and the way Olympiacos just didn't really exist. You know, the first couple of minutes, you saw Olympiacos really play better and show their talent. You saw the physicality, you saw the pace a bit. But, you know, after a couple of minutes, you saw Haifa start again to get into it. And you know, and all of that also happened with Omar Atsidi getting injured. And that was also key. You know, you were like, oh, okay, Omar Atsidi, pretty much Haifa's best player, got injured, got out of the game, just couldn't continue. And Haifa looked good without him as well. So that was also super encouraging because last year, when we saw Maccabi Haifa without Omar Atsidi, they had a huge problem. So some really encouraging things out of Haifa when we're still in July, you know, and that's also a thing that, you know, let's say the big clubs, like, you know, let's say Barcelona and Real Madrid and, you know, the English teams, is their most important games come up pretty much, let's say, you know, December-ish, you know, when it's already like the end of the first, you know, the first stage of, you know, the Champions League, or, you know, the half stage, the group stage in the Champions League. That's when they really need to be connect and really be there. The rallies or the teams that go through the qualifiers need to be in their best shape of the year, pretty much in July, August. And that's, you know, when we're talking about building this team early on and really having a full squad in training camp, you really need that. And you saw Haifa that got ready pretty early. For them, it was even a bit late, but they had all their players already pretty much in training camp. And you saw the difference between Olympiacos, which they're still trying to build their team. And by the way, we should point it out that Olympiacos is close to signing Doron Lindner, the left wing back from Hapoel Tel Aviv, who started the past couple of games for the Israel national team. We've seen him, you know, he was on the shelf throughout the whole summer, and we knew he's not going to be staying in Hapoel Tel Aviv. So he's going to go to a different red and white colors, probably to Olympiacos. Same colors for €2 million, which is a nice price. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting for him to play there and to see how he can really become a starter and a contributor there. But, you know, Olympiacos is not that far from, you know, getting out. Even though they are, you know, by the names of the players and by the talent, they're much better than Haifa. They should be in the group stage of the Champions League, even on the verge of, you know, qualifying maybe to the round of 16. You know, but with the way Barak Bacha got his squad ready, you know, he has a history of, you know, already kicking out Olympiacos. I want to say it was like 5 years ago with Paul Beresheva. But again, playing on the road in Olympiacos. Olympiacos hasn't lost at home in the qualifiers. I don't know when I saw the numbers, I was really surprised.
It's a tough, listen, the sports rabbi was there. It's a tough building to play in. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It's a very no frills stadium, and you're right on top of the pitch. It's going to be a very, very tough go. I mean, there's, you know, teams rarely win in a place like Olympiacos, and Maccabi Haifa is going to have a rough time. And of course, a second goal would have been a really, really big advantage if they would have been able to get one in that game. So, yeah. You know, Maccabi Haifa looking good. If they, we'll just talk about what happens if they win or if they lose here for a minute. You know, if they fall to Olympiacos, they'll play the winner of the Ferencváros from Hungary and Slovan Bratislava from Slovakia tie. The first leg ended 2-1 in favor of Bratislava. Now, if they advance to the third round, they play, that would be in Europa League third round qualifying. If they advance to the third round of Champions League qualifying, they'll play Apollon Limassol from Cyprus, which won't be easy. Anytime an Israeli team has to play there, it's always going to be a tough go. So we're going to see. I mean, I have very good hopes. I have high hopes for Maccabi Haifa. I was pleasantly surprised as to how they reacted after coming off of a, you know, pretty miserable loss against Apollon Beersheva and the Super Cup. So and I think there's something to build off of over there. Let's move on to the Conference League games. There were three, and we'll start off with Maccabi Tel Aviv. I think that's kind of the easiest one to deal with. 3-0 winners in Azerbaijan over Zera. Georgia Jovanovic with a brace. I mean, great goal. I mean, he is a goal scorer, poacher. I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, that's, and I'll bring it back. Franci Peyrot, okay? You can't miss a chance like you had in an Olympiacos game. And if you saw that, that was a miserable chance. It was a miserable attempt. He had such room to score. And I understand if fans are already getting on him because you want to see this guy score. And you know what happens. Like Anestis, there were goalies here that, you know, fell apart in these qualifiers and were never the same afterwards. So Jovanovic is just, he is just a goal scorer, a poacher. He knows how to score any which way in the box. Kanakowski scored. Brandley Kouas has looked brilliant. This is not the same Kouas that we saw last year. Obviously, he has got to be in Vladanovic's good books over there. And the return leg, of course, on Thursday at Bloomfield Stadium. I don't know how big a crowd they're going to get for that game because they're already up 3-0. Maccabi has to show up, obviously, to, you know, to just finish off business. And I'm sure Ivic will want to see them finish off very quickly. The winner of that that tie will face the winner between Gomel from Belarus and Aris Thessaloniki from Greece. And right now, Aris is up 5-1. So you can already see that Saloniki will be the team that Maccabi Tel Aviv will face in the third round of qualifying, Roy Shalom.
Yeah, and Aris Saloniki, you know, is a bad draw for Maccabi Tel Aviv because it's a really, really tough draw for them. And, you know, if Maccabi Tel Aviv came in as one of the top seeded teams in the Conference League, you know, if, on paper, you would say Aris Saloniki would have had the same, but, you know, they don't have the track record in Europe to have that, seated, you know, the top seated as well. So a bad draw for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Just about the game, not much. You know, this team from Azerbaijan, Zira, you know, you see they're not competitive. They're, you know, we're comparing them pretty much to a low level team in the first division, maybe even a second division team here in Israel. And Maccabi Tel Aviv did their job, you know, that I'll just say it like that. As you said, Bradley Kuvas just looks different. He looks in shape, you know, and that is key for Maccabi Tel Aviv and for this club, for Maccabi Tel Aviv and for him personally, because Maccabi Tel Aviv was looking for a winger pretty much instead of Kuvas, and the way he has started the season is incredible. You know, he had a couple of key passes, he had a assist, and you saw him really work hard the way Ivic likes to see his wingers, you know, work hard and press off the ball on the defensive end, something we just didn't see him do last year. So if he can do that, if he can really show his talent the way he has so far, that's huge for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Now, we should know that Maccabi Tel Aviv was without Aron Zahavi, was without Nir Biton.
Are these guys going to be back? I mean, what's the story for the next series? It seems that Zahavi will mm-hmm. be available. That's what it sounds like. But it's like, so, everything's like this big mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar?
Yeah, always. Maccabi Tel Aviv is always the mystery team here. So it seems like that Aron Zahavi and Nir Biton have been in full practices lately. Now, I don't expect to see them against Zira. Maybe for just a couple of minutes just to feel the pitch. For sure not start. But
no.
Their goal, and this is for Maccabi Tel Aviv, because this is their season pretty much. Their goal is going to be that game in just over a week against RS Saloniki. And because it's such a tough draw, they really have to be in top shape. Now, last year, Maccabi Tel Aviv got lucky in their draws and, you know, really could have, they played really bad teams and they didn't even need to be in top shape to really go through. This is not the case this year for them, and that's why Aron Zahavi and Nir Biton are working their way to be ready for that, because so far Maccabi Tel Aviv has, and Ivic is saying it out loud, that they need a couple more players, especially a defender. After against Zira, they didn't even have a true defender, you know, ready for that game. After Nachmias also had a stomach virus, so the two defenders, the center backs, were Shiran Yaini and Sabarit, which Ivic said just a couple of weeks ago in his press conference that he doesn't see Sabarit as a center back, only as a left wing back. So it just shows the situation for Maccabi Tel Aviv, and they just can't afford it. And they're, so far, they again have a problem of bringing in, you know, players and really on time. And we talked about it all offseason that, you know, they started well.
We talked about this for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
And, you know, with Maccabi Tel Aviv's aspirations of really competing in Europe year in and year out, and with RS Saloniki coming up, they are in trouble. And, you know, when I'm seeing this matchup, I want to say RS Saloniki, with the players that they have over there, are favorites over Maccabi Tel Aviv, especially with, you know, the team that Ivic has right now. And, you know, there's no, you know, just relaxing your way and just passing teams on your way to the Conference League group stage. It's just, it's different this time. And I don't know if it's good or not, because so far they haven't brought in, you know, a defender or a wing as they hoped. You know, we're still seeing Oskar Gloch on the team. Does it mean he's going to stay here? We still don't know. There's a lot of question marks going with Maccabi Tel Aviv. And it's just way too late. You know, as I said earlier, with being in top shape for Maccabi Haifa and them really doing it, Maccabi Tel Aviv is just not there. And in a month or so, we're going to see a different team on the pitch, a different 11. And that's probably going to be the top 11 players, you know, that we'll see week in and week out. Right now, if you ask me, there are 6 to 7 players that are really going to be on that starting 11 in a month or so. So that's a problem. That's a problem. And you know, I'm most worried out of the teams in, you know, in this European stages, out of the Israelis, I'm most worried about Maccabi Tel Aviv.
All right, let's shoot over. Of course, we're on here with Roy Shalom, Sports Rabbi Show, going through the Israeli teams in European qualifying action. Let's shoot over to Hapoel Be'er Sheva. And this is a weird tie. They're playing Dynamo Minsk. They won the first game, first leg, 2-1 at Turner Stadium. The second leg will also be at Turner Stadium. No fans will be allowed in the facility because basically Be'er Sheva is not going to be able to travel to Belarus due to the ongoing conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Rotem Hatuel scored a nice goal. They were up 2-0. Then they gave up a late goal, which was not great. I suspect Be'er Sheva is going to make it through here, but when you're playing in an empty stadium, who knows what's going to happen. And the winner ends up playing a tough draw in Lugano from Switzerland. So it's a weird situation here for Paul Be'er Sheva. They should get by Dynamo Minsk, but 2-1 is not a result that they're happy with, that's for sure.
Yeah, that disappointing, you know, out of the teams, the Israeli teams that, you know, played in the conference. You know, this one was Hapoel Be'er Sheva was the most disappointing out of the group, even though they won. Yeah. But, you know, this should have been like a game that they're
pounding,
you know,
them.
Winning.
Pounding they should them. Have pounded for sure. them 4-1, yeah. 5-1 home. Mm-hmm. And with your fans, you know that this is the game. Then you give them a cheesy goal near the end. You know, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Not a good situation. I mean, one, you're happy because Rotem Hatuel and Segubi Husk will score. I get all that. But Barda said the right things, you know, but he said the right things. We could have made a significant step. We can't forget this is the first official game. We gave up a bad goal.
It's all about the goal. You know, if they would have won 2-0, you would say, okay, fine. You know, you're happy with that score. But the second they allowed that goal and really couldn't push in another one, that was a problem. And, you know, it was disappointing. It was disappointing for Be'er Sheva. You know, the way they played wasn't, you know, great. You know, it seemed like something was a bit stuck for Be'er Sheva. And, you know, we saw Tomer Hemed start for them. The new, and we didn't even talk about their new striker that came, striker winger. You know, his name is Somani, that came from Sweden. You know, the whole package was for 1 million euros, including his salary. So it's pretty much 700,000 for the transfer and another 300,000 for his contract. And you know, that's a hefty price, you know, a price that we didn't see Alona do and pay for a while now. So they have some high hopes.
I'll tell you, I sure hope that, you know, that this guy's going to really help them out, because can you imagine if they crash out of Europe right now?
Yeah, and they have a really, I'll say this, they have a really long squad of good
deep
quality
squad.
Players, but
deep squad.
A deep one, a deep squad. But you know, if they're out of Europe and you know they really put an emphasis on reaching this year the Conference League, and you know we're talking about the money, the importance of the money from this tournament and from this competition. It's huge. You know, we're talking about, you know, a high money that you just don't see here every day, and it's crucial. And we saw, you know, Haifa take advantage of that this year with the transfers they've done. Maccabi Tel Aviv has been taking advantage of being in Europe year in and year out. And, you know, we saw Jovanovic come for 2 million euros just, you know, last year. So that's the hope for Apoel Be'er Sheva as well. Because we're talking about, I want to say, like 30 million shekels, which is something we just don't see. So we just, you know, and them now playing at home in Turner, you just want to see somewhat of an improvement. We're probably going to see him, Somani, even start. He did see a couple of minutes late in that game. Mm-hmm. There was a big talk that Barrero did not play at all. You know, one of the top players for Be'er Sheva last year. The central defender just didn't play. Not only he didn't start, he just didn't play. And Bardo was saying after the game that, you know, if you won't practice good during the week, even one practice, you'll be out. And he's trying to point that out early on in the season, which is interesting because, you know, in a way we didn't see, I didn't see him at least like that as a coach. I thought he always has like his type of guys that he really trusts, but, you know, he's trying to build this culture that, you know, he wants to see everyone working. And I guess he's going to do pretty much the Ivic way of whoever is going to be working the best during the week is going to start. So we saw Keltens and pretty much be in that position for Barrero throughout this game. So we'll have to see what's going to happen against Minsk. I truly believe they'll pass it. Minsk is not good enough. Be'er Sheva is much better. But you just want to see them really take a step forward and really build this confidence, because after the game, it seemed like they lost the game. That's the whole thing. It really felt like they lost the game, even though they won. So you need that confidence going into against Lugano that is just, you know, a tough draw, a better team than Be'er Sheva, if you ask me. So we'll want to see that from the red and white team from the Negev.
All right, let's move over to the final Conference League game. Maccabi Netanya, Istanbul, Başakşehir, 1-1 draw. Netanya gets a lead. Gili Tzchak, he gets a terrific pass from Patrick Tuomasi. Heads home the opening goal. Unfortunately, they give up a goal later on. Okay, you know, I think that ultimately, though, Maccabi Netanya to go to Turkey and draw 1-1 is fabulous. If they advance to the third round, they will play the winner of Breiðablik Blik from Iceland or Budućnost from Montenegro. Right now, Breiðablik is up by the score of 2-0. I think everybody's got to be really happy with the way Netanya played in this game. They're going to have a sold-out stadium back in Israel for the second leg.
Yeah, just an incredible, incredible job by Benny Lam's squad. You know, they built him, Benny Lam and Al Mokoyan built this team early on in the summer, really adding on to the positions they needed. And not only that, they didn't sell players. You know, it's pretty much the first time that Netanya is saying, you know what, we want to be this top team. And now we should note it out that they are the best of the rest of the league. So there's pretty much Be'er Sheva, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Maccabi Haifa. And you know, and the best of the rest is now Maccabi Netanya, and it's by pretty much a long you know distance for me. Like, they are the true number four team now in Israel, and the way they played in Istanbul, playing, you know, Benny Lam's style of soccer, and that is high pressing, 90 minutes, you know, against a better team, a much better team on paper. And just, you know, you didn't really feel Istanbul being a much better team. Only the last, I want to say 15 to 20 minutes, you felt that, you know, a bit, Netanya is falling off of their feet. But, you know, they had an incredible game, an incredible start. You know, the first goal came after, I want to say, like, 2 minutes, in the first 2 minutes of the game, for Netanya. And again, we should give a lot of credit for Benny Lam and Almo Cohen, for the way this team looks. So Wamasi is out of this league. Really, he is, I don't want to say he's like the next Wakame that we had here in Israel back then when he was here under Be'er Sheva, but he's just, you feel that he's not supposed to be here, especially for a team like Netanya. And, you know, they're coming into Netanya and there's some beef between these two teams. You know, we've been hearing, you know, the Istanbul team swearing that they're going to crush Netanya after, you know, the performance that they had, or I don't know what happened between these two teams, but it got a bit, I like it, you know, it got a bit, some spice to it between these two clubs. And Netanya at home, a full stadium, this is something that, you know, this team hasn't done for years, especially in it's the excitement. New stadium. And,
excitement.
Yeah, and that's amazing because, you know, they built, just a couple of years ago, they were in the second division after, you know, really going through the whole process from zero, you know, going down to the second league, having Eyal Segar really help out with the team as the owner, and build it from scratch. And this is just clean as it could get.
For this team. And
and it's amazing because, you know, looking back, who would have believed that Netanya will get to the situation? And you really see that. And, you know, they have top level talent. If it's, you know, Eden Kaltsev that, you know, came from Maccabi Tel Aviv, and, you know, and I think he should go out for Europe because you saw him against Istanbul really, you know, push guys. He was, you know, and he was always very physical, but you saw him be physical against the Turkish team. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, so this means he really should be there. And we also saw him start for the national team as well. And Alon Chazan giving him credit. So you feel that. And they have Aviv Abraham, and they have Eno, and they have Tawamasi and Zlatanovic. And, you know, I said last summer, I was like, I like this team a lot. And it was back then with Raymond Affelt. But, you know, they needed like this last touch for this team. And the last touch was the coach. And the way Benny Lam, you know, coaching for the first time, you know, he was a youth legendary coach. For years, he's been coaching youth departments, and getting his first opportunity as a coach with Netanya, his home squad, and really, you know, take this team to another level is just amazing. And this is pretty much like a Cinderella story right now with Netanya. And they don't want to stop. You really feel it that, you know, I won't be surprised if they can somehow get past Istanbul.
If they can get past Istanbul, they're actually not in terrible shape, right?
Right, because they're getting Istanbul's seeded, you know, spot already. So for the next game. So they're pretty much going to have the easiest game out of all of the teams that are playing in Europe, out of the Israelis. So really, if they can somehow get past Istanbul, which I really believe they can, with the fans, you know, behind them, this is something that this team hasn't had for years. And the hype around the team is crazy these days in the city of Netanya. So I truly believe they can get past. The only real problem for them is that the Bulgarian central defender, Golubov, got out with a red card, which was unfortunately a dumb red card in the 92nd minute. That is the only thing that concerns me right now for Netanya. Who's going to be replacing him? Maybe it's going to be Yuval Sadeh, a local kid. But, you know, this team, that's the only thing that is really right now concerning my side with Netanya. We know that Istanbul will be coming out flying, trying to get an early goal to really, you know, finish it and really take the atmosphere out.
Right, put the pressure on Netanya.
But if Netanya is somehow going to stay in this and are really going to be pushing, because we know they're going to high press Istanbul, they're going to be full of energy, they'll be running around all over. And
they just got to be careful.
Exactly. They just need to be careful on the defensive end. It didn't look great. You know, we saw also the new left defender that, you know, has some experience in the Bundesliga, but he made a mistake in that tying goal late in the game, which was a bit disappointing because, you know, they were able to keep a 1-0 lead until the, you know, very late in the game. But unfortunately for Netanya, they couldn't keep it. So, you know, a brand new game, 90 minutes, even maybe 120 minutes, we still don't know.
Or penalties.
There's
going to be a lot of fun, a lot of action.
Yeah, it's going to be electric.
All right, so let's move now over to Beitar Jerusalem. As we have the last few weeks, of course, Beitar Jerusalem is back in the news because there are two competing groups to purchase the club. Barak Abramov, the current owner of Bnei Yehuda, and the American group led by Josh Jacoby. Sports Rabbi did a big interview with him. You can check that out at sportsrabbi.com. It's not just an American group. There's Israelis in there also. They have a whole plan. They want to make it part of the community, on and on and on and on. The lawyer that is handling the case for Beitar, Junger, was able to get an extension from the budget committee of the Israel Football Association until August 10th. Basically, it seems that everybody, except for maybe the city of Jerusalem, is interested in having Barak Abramov own Beitar Jerusalem. Moshe DeMaio is the character who will purchase, or so-called purchase, Bnei Yehuda. It's crazy stuff. There's always some story with Beitar Jerusalem, isn't there? But it's clear that they really want Barak Abramov, that they're not interested in the Josh Jacoby group. That's what at least it seems. I think the city of Jerusalem is definitely on the Jacoby side. I think they want to see a serious change. And I don't blame them, frankly. I mean, let's be honest. We're going to bring Barak Abramov in. We're going to have the same nonsense that's been here for years upon years upon years upon years. I mean, isn't it time to try something a little bit new, maybe?
Is it? Yes. Will it be? No. You know, it's just, you know, Junger is doing everything for the interests of one guy, and that's Moshe Chogeg. Moshe Chogeg wants to do one thing, and that is to sell the team to Barak Abramov. He doesn't want to sell it to anyone else. We don't know exactly what is behind the scenes between Barak Abramov and Moshe Chogeg, and there is a lot.
You mean there may be stuff behind the scenes That is shocking. No. At Beitar Jerusalem, things behind the scenes, I'm stunned. I can't believe it, Roik Shalom.
Yes. So, you know, today they were also at court, and, you know, we knew it's going to be a long process. And, you know, there was some good news in a way for Beitar. I want to say it like that, that they got the extension until mid-August to get this done. So that's a start, because there was the last deadline. You know, we're talking about the deadline every single week. It's funny, but the last deadline was supposed to be yesterday. Nothing happened again. And, you know, the Israeli Football Association was supposed to announce Beitar going down to the second division, to the Lumit League. This did not happen. And now they were able to come up with something that will allow Beitar to really try to do things until the 10th of August. However, and this is the biggest however, the police, because the police is just a part of this deal, due to the fact that Moshe Chogeg has his, you know, his, I don't even know how to even say it, but he has, you know, like, he's a part of an investigation going on, and could be seeing some jail time, whatever it is. The police wants to see Barak Abramov put 11 million shekels on the side before he even, you know, buys Beitar for whatever, whatever, you know, someday really needs to buy this team and to start investing in this team. And he's not willing to put that 11 million shekels for the police on the side. So now Jungel, who's, you know, the lawyer for Chogeg, in this whole thing, is trying to somehow get the police to go down from that request. And they pretty much have by the until the mid-August to really get that through. You know, we said last week, do I see something going on until this week, and will we get an official announcement? So no, there's no official announcement. We're not going to hear anything until then. And also then, if there will be a decision that, you know, Beitar will go down, they will go to the court, to the regional court, not already out of the Football Association court and really to the real court of the state of Israel, the regional one. So that is, it's still a long process. And we already know that Beitar is not going to be a part of the Toto Cup. That's officially, was officially announced today. And there's a team that really wants to be in the first division, and that is Maccabi Petach Tikva and Avi Luzon. And he was also there today in court and really yelling out there that, you know, he needs to get his team ready if they will be in the first division, and that's not fair for him. But he's pretty much out of the equation right now, and the only equation right now is how will Beitar stay in the first division here in Israel. It's going to get messy. There's going to be a lot of reports. But, you know, right now the American team that was pretty much built with, I want to say, the city of Jerusalem, and Nir Barkat, that, you know, was really helping out to build this American team and find this group to really buy Beitar. They're the last resort, an option for Beitar Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And he said it today, if we'll need to really do it, Junger said, if we'll really need to do it, we'll then just go and talk to them. But we're not even willing to really go there because we're not interested, which is crazy because this team is on the verge of dropping to the second division, and you just need to somehow save this team. Yeah. I don't know how, what, whatever, but just try to save this team, because if they go down, we might not see Beitar for years.
Well, you know, listen, again, let's just say this. Beitar Jerusalem is not going to go down a league.
Exactly.
Charlton has too much interest. All the TV money is coming from Beitar fans. Everybody knows it. They're not going down a league, okay? They're going to find every which way to make sure they don't go down a league. I would be shocked if somehow they're able to pull that off.
And by the way, there was also, you know, it's funny and not funny, because Ramat HaSharon's soccer team, the city I live at, was announced today that they're going down from the second division to the third division because they couldn't get the money right for the year. And they're complaining, why didn't we get everything that Beitar is getting and the help and here and there? And
yeah, well,
we need some more time.
Well, we all know why.
So this is a special, really a special like case, because it's Beitar Jerusalem. Let's say if it was a different team, let's say, I don't know which team, but Kiryat Shmona would have probably be down already. If it was maybe even up or five, probably. Yeah.
Probably.
So, only because this is Beitar Jerusalem, you know, one of the top teams here in Israel. They're trying to do everything to stay in the first division. So that's the case right now with Beitar Jerusalem.
All right. We have breaking news now here on Sports Rabbi Network. And I'm going to play this. So let's listen in. Do you hear that, Roy Shalom?
Nope.
You don't hear the action on the other end of the line here?
Nope.
I'm playing a video of Manor Solomon as we speak right now.
Ooh.
And he's being introduced in his Fulham kit, the pink, bright Fulham kit. He looks so cool. And the sports rabbi is all over this. And when I mean all over this, I really mean all over it. First of all, the sports rabbi video has been taken by Fulham of Manor Solomon. It is in their 25-second clip. There is a thing that I had recorded from the television. All right. Not only that, the sports rabbi is featured in the Athletics article about Manor Solomon, which came out about 15 minutes ago. And I'm quoted here: "He's a top talent," says Josh Halfman, writer for the Sports Rabbi and the Jerusalem Post. Solomon has the potential to be one of the top five Israeli players to play abroad. He has a ton of talent. He has a work ethic that is second to none. He's extremely modest, which also plays in his favor. He's not the splashy superstar. He's cool. He's calm, cool, and collected. He's a good kid, a mensch. That's Yiddish for a person of integrity and honor. Does it get any better than that, baby?
It's about time. And congrats to him, because, you know, it's been just such a long journey for him to really, you know, fulfill his dreams and play, first of all, in the Premier League. And that is something we wanted to see from Manor Solomon. And leaving Shakhtar took him a long, long time, much longer than I think he expected and wanted. And you know, he's starting a new journey. He's starting a new chapter in his book. And it's a very exciting one, because Fulham is, you know, not one of the top teams in the Premier League, coming now from, you know, the Championship, back to the Premier League. And I just really hope that he can show his talent, and, you know, the Fulham fans will just fall in love with this kid, because he'll do anything to win. And he has top talent. We saw it against Real Madrid. We saw it against Inter on the biggest stage in the Champions League. And why not do it now in front of, you know, so many fans week in and week out in the Premier League? I'm excited for him. I'm excited for this kid to make that step. I think we're going to see him develop even more. We're already seeing him develop. I think it was almost a year out of team activities for him. So I think he really needs it for his development because, you know, unfortunately with everything going on in Ukraine, that stopped his development pace that he was at. We know that that summer he wanted already out of Shakhtar Donetsk. Unfortunately, that couldn't happen. So just exciting news. And we already saw him a week ago, in a Fulham shirt. And that was already like, we knew it's already official, but this is now the official. Announcement.
I am so excited, Roy Shalom. I cannot tell you. Let me read you a few more quotes in here because the sports rabbi is thrilled. Okay. Did this interview, by the way, like a month and a half ago or something. It's been like on the shelf waiting to go here. People were, let me find some great quotes here. People were talking about him when he was much younger. We knew about him back in 2016, says Halleckman. Excuse me, I'm so excited here. As a 15-year-old, we knew he was talented. He is going to be the leader of the next generation of Israeli footballers. He'll be that lead player with Leo Labada, the 20-year-old at Celtic, and other product of the Maccabi Petah Tikva Academy behind him. You know, this is good stuff, right? This is really, you know, finally another Israeli back in the Premier League. That's great. I mean, like, this is what we dream about, right? How excited is it to be in the Premier League? We haven't had a player in the Premier League like this in a very, very long time, right? I mean, Yossi Benayoun was fabulous. There's no question. Probably the best ever to be in the Premier League. Eyal Berkovic obviously was superb. Tal Ben-Haim had a good career, but he's a defender. Here you have a player, though, that's a creator, a player that's a winger, a player that can score. I'm super excited about this. I'm like, finally, it's like we've been waiting so long and now here it is. So this is awesome stuff. Really, really
super. Yeah.
Now, before we end off the show here, Roy Shalom, I've got to ask you the following question. And I told you I was going to have a surprise question for you. There are three interesting friendlies coming up here in Israel. Did you know that?
Yes.
Three interesting
By the way, yes.
friendlies.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. The first friendly is between Tottenham and Roma, taking place at Sammy Ofer Stadium this Saturday night. Both teams apparently bringing in their full squads for this game. The following week, there is the PSG Nantes French Super Cup. Still not 100% sure which players are going to play for PSG. Of course, that would be Messi, Neymar. They're supposedly coming, but, you know, anything can change. And then finally, you have Atletico Madrid and Juventus. So I have a question for you. Which game are you most excited for over here? Which game are you really most excited for? The fact that these teams are in Israel, the fact that these players are in Israel, the fact that they're going to be, you know, really, you know, it's exciting. On one hand, you have the French Super Cup, which is like for a cup, right? It's a title. Played here last year. PSG against Nantes. And, you know, you do have the possibility of seeing, we still don't know again who's going to be on this trip, but you have to think that Messi is going to be playing. Neymar is going to be playing. We'll have to see how that rides up. Mbappe will not play because he has too many cards, yellow cards. You have Atletico and Juventus, which are two classic teams, of course. An incredible history with those two franchises. And then, of course, you have Tottenham and Roma. Tottenham, of course, anytime a Premier League team comes here, it is an event. And they're coming with their full squad, and you're going to have all the good players here. And Roma, which is coming with a full squad, Jose Mourinho, talented players. That's going to be a fun game as well. So which game are you leaning towards here?
So I love the Tottenham Rome, storyline. There's also Paulo Dybala that is now joining Rome, and he might even see some minutes, first minutes, playing already here in Israel. So that is going to be interesting to see if Mourinho gives him, minutes here. But I think, and again, this is still far and we still don't know this for sure, but there have been rumors that, Cristiano Ronaldo might be going to Atletico Madrid. And, if he does, join Atletico Madrid, his first start might be here in Israel. It's going to be against his ex-squad, Juventus. Mm-hmm. And that would be an incredible game. It's not only going to be, big here, it's going to be a big thing worldwide because, mm-hmm. There's something about Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the top soccer players, not only in this generation, but all time. And if he'll come here and make his first start, I'm just trying to think about the amount of reporters that will come in due to that, or, the hype that will be around this game even more, than what there is right now. So that is the game that I'm really pointing at. Again, it's because if he does join, it will be huge. But we'll have to wait and see. And again, these, when you're talking about Juventus and Atletico Madrid, you're talking about two top franchises in the European soccer world. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be at Bloomfield Stadium. It's going to be packed. All of these games will be packed and really interesting, but this is the one that I'm really looking forward to.
All right, there you have it. Roy Shellam, any final thoughts before we let you go? And you hear how excited I am? Am I like really excited? Yeah. I'm super excited.
So I'll say this. I'm super excited to see the Israelis in Europe. The past week, with the Maccabi and all of that, I was like, I have to watch these teams play. And I'm just excited to really now have the time to really sit back and really enjoy each game mm-hmm. of the Israelis. I'm super excited for the game, for the Haifa game against Olympiacos, but mm-hmm. but even more for the Netanya game. There's something right over there that I'm just I just can't wait for. So I'm excited for that. And if you want to talk to me about any of the players, any of the teams, going into these matchups, really feel free to DM me at rshalem on Twitter or wherever you're enjoying this podcast. You can also just leave a comment over there and I'll be answering. And, I'm just super excited. We saw now Manuel Solomon sign. Will we see Oscar Gloch move? I can see that happening and maybe ramping up in the next couple of weeks or so. So there's just so much yet to come. And we're also seeing, Israeli teams go out to play in friendlies and go out to their training camps. Mm-hmm. And there's some good hype around the Israeli league this year.
Yes. Yes.
If it's Femed, the young talent,
Ren Zahavi, Nir Bitzman, yep. A lot of players coming back.
And we still don't know.
I know this. And we still don't know about Dor Perets. He's still floating out
right
there.
And this right, is and Eli Dasa as well.
Yeah. We've heard about Eli Dasa. It's like, when you don't hear about these guys in the news, it's not like Ren Zahavi, right? Where he was in the news every day after day.
It was just crazy.
It was nuts.
It was crazy.
This is a super lot of fun. I think we ended off this podcast with a big, boom here with Manor Solomon. That was a blast. And yep. I'm super psyched. So if you want to make sure you want to follow me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports. in English and in Hebrew. We serve it to you in both languages. Make sure you subscribe to the Sports Rabbi podcast. Lots of fun. Check me out all over the place. Check it all out because it's a lot of fun. I'm so psyched up. I'm so excited. Roy Shalom, we'll speak to you maybe near the end of the week and we can wrap up the these four games. How about that? Do we have a date on Friday?
Yep.
Sounds all right. Good. There you have it. We'll speak to you soon, Roy Shalom. Thanks so much for coming on board with the Sports Rabbi.